You may have read in the news sheet that just over a week ago I was sat in a diocese meeting and I was sat there with my grumpy head on. And I was thinking to myself, is this just going to be like all those other monthly meetings that I've been to? Because for month in, month out, I've been going to these meetings and I go with a hope in my heart that actually God will transform his church here in the Portsmouth area. But if I'm really honest with you, I'm not sure if I see transformation, or certainly I don't see it at a pace that I would love to see. And so I sat there somewhat unexpectant. And then Bishop Christopher stood up, and in his opening remarks, he said this. He said, "Absence of risk is a sure sign of mediocrity, and Christians are not called to be mediocre." And it was one of those warming of the heart moments, one of those light in front of you moments when you think, yes, he is calling us to a life, life to the full. He's reflecting what Jesus is saying to us, reminding us of the call of Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, maybe you also have been in meeting week after week, year after year, where you have been wondering, where is this life to the full that the vicar, the rector, the church leader bangs on about? Perhaps you may even have got to a point now where you think, well, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe I'm just too far beyond that. Well, if that's you, I want to say that actually Jesus promised life to the full, and he's able to deliver that. Wherever you are in life, however young or old you feel, he will deliver. Because, you know, it's been my experience that being a churchgoer, being someone who goes to church, is annoying and frustrating and can lead to a mediocre feeling. But I think what we're going to discover as we enter into this new series on practicing the way of Jesus, that being a disciple of Jesus is quite the opposite. It's full of light and energy and fulfillment at whatever stage of life we are in. And so I'm really excited to share this with you. So we're calling this mini-series Practicing the Way of Jesus. And we're going to begin to look at what it means to have that life to the full and actually what our part in that might be. Because, you know, actually being a follower of God has always been a radical call to live differently to other people. I mean, we heard Peter read those commandments so well, didn't we? But they are a call to a nation to live differently to the nations around them. "You shall have no other God before me. You shall not make yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven or above or in the waters below." That is a call to Israel to not worship idols like the nations that were around them. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. That was a call to Israel to be different to those around them, to not work people to the bone, to actually have a radical life, which included rest. And then, a couple of thousand years later, a rabbi came on the scene and said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." You see, we sit this side of the resurrection and we think of Jesus as Lord and Saviour, which is correct, isn't it? And quite right. But in doing so, sometimes we miss that he was a rabbi and a teacher, and we miss that we are called to be his disciples. You see, there weren't any Christians when Jesus roamed the earth. There were just followers of the teacher Jesus, the rabbi who called them. But what a call, eh? What a call. They knew what a call that was on their lives. They knew what a truly radical call that was. Because actually, if you were a child at the time, your greatest hope would be that you might possibly be a disciple to a rabbi. But that hope was out of the reach of most people because it was truly for the elite. You see, the children would start school, as it were, Beth Sefer, or primary school, as we would call it. They would start that at the age of five. And the teaching would be wholly around remembering, memorizing the Torah, what we would call the first five books of our Old Testament. And by 12, they would have that memorized. And by 12, most of them would be back at home helping mum out or learning trade from dad. But actually, at 12, the best of the best would go on to secondary school, Beth Midrash. And they would study the prophets and memorize the prophets as well as the Torah. And then come the end of that, the very best, the absolute elite, would go to a rabbi. And in their hearts, they would hope that they would allow them to follow them. And they would literally follow them around where they went, where they taught. And they would become disciples or apprentices to that rabbi. They would be called the Talmudim. And they would be completely devoted to that rabbi. Everything they did, they would literally walk around, and there was a blessing that said, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi, as they walked around Israel. They would want to be with their teacher, to become like their teacher, to do what their teacher did. That was their whole goal in life. And it was only the elite that made it. The Cambridge lot, the Oxford lot. It was only them that would make it. Which is why they were willing to risk everything. Because ultimately, if they risked everything, they would leave behind their mediocre life. And they would become a rabbi themselves. And yet, amongst all this elitism going on, and sorry, ladies, you weren't even in the picture. We have moved on a bit, haven't we? Amongst all this elitism going on, a rabbi steps forward and says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to be my Talmudim, female, male, rich, poor, super intelligent, scraping by, must pick up their cross and follow me, says Jesus. So what is it to pick up our cross and follow Jesus? Well, that is exactly what this series is about. That's what we're going to discover as we move forward. But I'll give you some headlines to keep you going. It means to be with Jesus, to be with our rabbi, to apprentice to him, to spend time with him, to follow him around. His call was to come and follow him, not to stay at a distance. And next week, we're going to discover this as we read, remain in me, Jesus said, as I also remain in you. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in your rabbi, Jesus. Abide in him, some of the older translations say. And if you do, you will be unstoppable. So that's our first part of becoming an apprentice to Jesus, to remain in him, to follow his way, to spend time in silence and solitude and quiet. And we'll talk more about that next week. And then we're going to look at what it means to become like our rabbi, to actually become like Jesus. What some of the traditions in church would call spiritual formation, what the rabbis themselves called their yoke. And of course, this is a journey. You don't suddenly turn up one day and say, I'm going to be like Jesus. Bing, I'm like Jesus. It's a journey, isn't it? It doesn't happen overnight. But it isn't an impossible journey. It's possible at whatever age we're at to be more like Jesus this time next year. And it's possible to move towards that goal. Jesus said, take up my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, the question isn't whether we're going to be formed or not. That's not the question. We will be formed by something. It might be our experiences of life. It might even be our parents or family, even if they're not alive still. We'll be formed into a different person by something. It could be the expectations of the world, of the neighbours, or even of our children. We will be formed. The question isn't, will you be formed? It's, by what will you be formed? Maybe the question should be, as we look to become more like Jesus, am I more like Jesus now than I was a year ago? What are we becoming? What are we allowing to inform that journey? Is it the teachings, the yoke of Jesus, or is it something or someone else? Well, that's going to be quite easy then, isn't it? So we would have now spending time with Jesus. We would have now becoming like Jesus. And finally, we will look at what Jesus did. How do we do what our rabbi Jesus did? Well, what did he do? He prayed. He taught. He healed the sick. He preached the gospel. He brought peace. He sought justice. He prophesied. He stood up against all sorts of corruption and evil. It was at this point in my preparation that I imagined you lot going to me, well, Max, we quite like the idea of being with Jesus. We even like the idea of becoming a bit like Jesus. But Max, we're not actually Jesus yet. And to do that lot is going to take Jesus. And that would be a reasonable response, were it not for the fact that your rabbi, Jesus, said, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Not all at once, but on that journey. Because every apprentice wants to do what their teacher does. Yeah. You don't become an apprentice as an electrician and not expect at some point to be able to wire a house on your own without your teacher. Likewise, as we become his apprentices, we want to be able to do what Jesus did. So there you go. That's the big idea. But actually, I've slightly undersold what's going on over the next few weeks because I said this was an introduction. But actually, really, it's an introduction to two introductions. Because as we look at spending time with Jesus, as we look at doing what Jesus did, as we look at becoming more like Jesus, all I can do in this short time together is to just show you some of the practices of Jesus underneath those areas. And then truly, over the next few years together, we'll delve more deeply into some of those. But let me leave you with one thing today. One thing to ponder on as we head into this acting the way that Jesus acts, practicing the way of Jesus. Is for you Jesus just a hobby? Or is he everything? Because actually that's the difference between frustration and life to the full. That's the difference between being a Christian and being one of his disciples, one of his Talmudim. Do you know, in Bedhampton, there are 61% of people who say they are Christian. That's around 6,000 people, I think, roughly. 56% of those people say not only are they Christian, they are Church of England Christians. That's about 3,360 people. I don't see them. They're not here, are they? Now, I don't say that to judge them. Who am I to judge? But I say that out of concern. Because actually, I believe they, and in truth, some of us, are living a life of frustration and mediocrity. When actually, the truth is, life to the full is within reach, within our grasp. If only we would risk it and step out. Do you know, the bulk of what it means to be one of Jesus' Talmudim, one of his apprentices, his disciples, is summed up in the Sermon on the Mount, which you can read in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And we've read some of that already as Matthew with our background reading, and we'll read some more in the future. But actually, don't let that stop you going home this weekend and reading Matthew 5, 6, and 7, because the truth is there's gold in those chapters. As Jesus goes through his yoke, his teaching on what it means to be his Talmudim. But before he preaches on that, He says this in chapter 5. Whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then he teaches about his yoke, his way. And he finishes at the end of chapter 7 and says, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man. Disciples of Jesus practice being with him. Disciples of Jesus practice becoming like him. And disciples of Jesus practice doing what Jesus did. I mean, hear this. You will not be loved any more than you are already loved, and you will not be any more saved than you are already saved by the effort that you put in, by the practice that you put in. That is done. That is the grace of Jesus on the cross. But if you want life to the full, and if you want to lose the frustration and walk away from a mediocre understanding of who Jesus is, I invite you to come and join me on this journey as we discover together what the practice and the way of Jesus really is. And as we move into this next stage together, we move into the next 2 years together, I invite you to ask yourself a question this week. Is Jesus just a hobby? Or is he my everything?